Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And today being Wednesday, it is there for me day. I wanted to say it's the first of the year, but I forgot that Sheriff actually did one last week. Am I right? Yes, and that's it. Okay. My guest, Sisi Oge, is not around yet. She must be on her way because I still spoke to her yesterday. And she'll probably catch up. You know, the traffic in Lagos is unpredictable, and only God knows where she's actually coming from. Well, let's look at the... I'm on in Auntie Bumi. Happy New Year, officially, from the Dear Bumi Club. I've spoken to her, you know, but Happy New Year, officially, from the Dear Bumi Club. Okay, and to all the Amalites, all the Amala people with Auntie Bumi, it's a Happy New Year to you all. Eriko and Muiwa, please remember that on Friday we have a date, okay, 11 o'clock at the usual place. Some of you are wondering what it is. This is a media thing, and it's for the senior boys in the media. Right, what are the issues that are cropping up here now? I hate being the other woman, Faith. Am my friend selfish not to help, Mandy? I miss my daughter so much. What happened to the daughter? My daughter was lucky to offer the well-paid job in telecoms, blah, blah, blah. Now she's got a flag she shares with her friend. She has to move on. That's Eunice. Is this contraceptive method foolproof? It's only Dr. Ayeni. This Dear Bumi question will be passed directly to Dr. Ayeni. Is this contraceptive method foolproof? Okay. So that's a medical problem. I want to conceive soon. Yes, you have a woman facing those challenges. That's Jola. Christina says that her husband was diagnosed with prostate cancer and that when he got healed, or when he got better, he has refused to perform his duties. Yes, prostate cancer is, for starters, it afflicts a lot of men. Yeah, it's, I hear even they say Nigerian men, it afflicts them a lot. It's one of the things, one of the challenges I face. Morning, Sisi Oge, how are you? You're fine, yes, good. Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, okay.
Do
you need to catch your breath?
No, yet? Not at all.
Not at all.
No,
you're good
not
to go.
At all. I'm good. I've been doing this too long.
Too long. Oh, okay, so the issues that...
So it was flat battery.
Oh, not, flat battery.
Not traffic. You leave the lights on in your car.
Oh, it's your car battery. You know, we have many batteries.
Oh, of course. That's true. No, car battery.
Oh, okay, car battery. It's okay. It's all right. Okay, so these Faith here says, I hate being the other woman. And Mandy says, I'm a friend selfish not to help. And Eunice says, I miss my daughter so much. Not all men fancy flashy women, but that's obvious. I want to conceive soon. That's a Jola. And this contraceptive method foolproof? We will pass to my great friend, Dr. Ayeni. He's a regular listener. That's a medical problem. Shall we start from I hate being the other woman?
If we must.
If we must, we must.
Well, it's such a boring topic. Everybody hates being the other woman, but you find yourself being... Let's go.
Yeah, but
it's part of like, but why bother getting yourself into it in the first place?
But you also have the other man too. That also happens these days.
Not exactly in the same... how do you say? I know. Not exactly in the same percentage.
Yeah, but still, men have that problem. The thing is, you're not going to be admitting in public that you are the other man, because chances are you're actually dating a married woman. That's making the other man.
And often it's a married man that's dating a married woman. Often. They're both other to another.
But men sometimes tell you that that's the best of relationships, you know, because your obligations are divided.
No, I think it's more about safety in risk. So both parties have things to lose. And therefore, yes, you know, secret lovers, as Atlantic Star told us, and it works.
But it's not the best of situations to be in, because, Sisimi, if you are caught,
Well, the thing is, they know that, though. Those who get into it, I think this is the thing.
Yes.
When I read these things, I always think to myself, okay, it is without a doubt that people know what they are getting into. Mm. Now, some will claim they can't control it. Find some get off on the adrenaline. A lot of people actually suffer from high boredom in this country.
Yeah.
So, which is why they literally get themselves into these spaces that gives them some sort, some, I don't know, sense
give
of
them
purpose, high adrenaline, etc., etc. And so, you know, and then yes, of course, it might. But bite
does
you.
It have to do with the notion that I think most people have that secret? You enjoy things in secret more than those in the open.
Well.
If you get what
it's
I
not,
mean.
Yeah, it's not so much a notion. I think it's true. I think it's true that as human beings, there's a sort of sense of bordered ownership when you're doing something, and also, you know, the forbidden fruit is the forbidden fruit, and it's always the sweetest. Just like everything they tell us is not good for us are the things that are sweetest.
Sugar.
Exactly. And if you think
I'm
of it like
for that,
that
now. I'm yeah. Yeah.
If you think of it like that, think of it as literally, you're eating sugar, and sugar gives you a different type of feeling, endorphins, adrenaline, comfort, you know, elation, etc., etc. And you're told you shouldn't be eating it, or at the very least, you need to cut it to the barest minimum. Always the things we like are the forbidden fruit has been the forbidden fruit, and it will always be the forbidden.
Let me even read what Faith says here.
Go on.
So you can. She says, I'm a single mom, and she's 29. I've never been that lucky with men, as my partners have always been violent and cheats. What an attraction. Although I still care for the father of my child, we've been apart for close to 2 years. Now I've fallen in love with a friend who works in the same office as I do. Ah. Okay, we've been sleeping together for close to a year now. It was meant to be just a bit of fun, but we fell in love. I've asked him to make me his second wife. Really? But he says that he's not ready for that. Of course he won't be. I want to be his wife. Instead, I am the other woman, and I hate it. And he says he hasn't had anything to do with his wife for so long, but I don't believe him, and we argue a lot. I'm scared of losing him. I don't think she's going to get anything that she wants from this guy. It's quite obvious.
If she was my friend, I'd have just dropped the phone on her, to be honest with you.
You reckon?
I would, because, okay, look, if you're going to go with a married man,
yes.
Be on top of your game and just do it.
How do you
with no expectations.
Game? Oh, okay.
Zero expectations. You know why you're there. You know what you're going to get out of it. You don't invest too much of your emotions. You certainly do not offer to be his second wife, because by, you know, you've effectively said to him, "I am here to be abused for as long as you want."
You think so, your second wife? Wait a
minute. No. If you are dating a married man, right?
What if? Wait a minute. Okay, so the lady's name is Faith. What if the guy's name, for example, was Mustafa, which means that he can actually have four wives?
Even if he could have 10 wives, the fact of the matter is he hasn't approached you. And this is where we get it wrong about Islam. Islam says you don't take a mistress. You go for a wife.
And now that's what
no,
she
no,
wants
no.
to be.
No, she was a mistress. In Islam, you do not go to a woman for her to be your mistress. Right? Because you are supposed to take her with the same honor as you would your first wife.
But your first wife was a girlfriend before she became wife.
Well, in Islam, you are supposed to approach a woman.
Yeah.
Right? You like her, then you go to her family. There's not supposed to be all that girlfriending going on. So my point is,
you don't
he's
get to
married.
Test the product
very well, well, it's whether you want to taste it or not. I'm not here about that. That's a whole different subject. You see, now you so to stay on topic is she is a mistress,
yes.
Right? Okay, be a mistress. That is, collect all the benefits of being a mistress. Yes,
what do you think
hard.
Are the benefits of being a mistress?
Each to their own. What do I think are the benefits?
Of being a mistress.
Well, first and foremost, he's got to ensure your bank account is well watered. He's got to ensure that you don't lack within his means, whatever it is. I mean, I always say to people, date within your bracket. Okay, so you don't start complaining that she's costing you too much. If she's costing you too much, then you're dating above your bracket. It's that simple.
So you go look for something cheaper in the market.
No, within your bracket.
Within your bracket.
And when calling it something cheaper is objectifying women. So we're not going to have that kind of language. I'm sorry.
No, we're having fun here.
But even then, you know, there are people listening and women are listening, and I'm here as a woman. My point is that
I'm here as a man.
Exactly, and men will always say something
cheaper.
Okay,
so right. I was just saying, go on.
You see my point. So my thing is that if you find yourself being somebody's mistress,
yeah.
And notice, I don't say side chick, because that's demeaning. Somebody's mistress, right? Then, to take a mistress, the man should know what he's role is in that person's life, because you are not going to give her the kind of, you're not going to be able to give her the kind of sukkah that you can give your wife. It's just impossible. However, you must be in a position to give her some sort of financial security within your means.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Love certainly has a role to play in some of this. Sometimes you find yourself in love, you can't control it, the other person can't control it, and then boom, you have, like she says now, you know, she didn't intend to even be a mistress in the first instance. Maybe they were just like ordinary friends, and then boom, it happens.
You fell on top of each other and then Adam and Eve happened? No. No. Look, I'm not saying she set out to be a mistress. The fact of the matter is, once you've gotten in bed and you find yourself in that situation, be alert and literally always put yourself first. I'm not saying you don't care. I'm not saying you don't end up falling in love. But that love, you've got to, how do you say, moderate it. So manage your expectations. The problem is people get into a place where they are a mistress. Both parties knew. He said he was married. Whatever he says about his wife, the first thing you must always dismiss is whatever they say about their wives. Always dismiss it. Whether it's true or not, take it as a lie, as a falsehood. It's never going to be true to the fact. Never. So first of all that matters is he's married.
Oh, okay.
You're not married. But he's married. You are now his girlfriend, which means that you are his comfort blanket away from home. Comfort blankets
Pardon? It works both ways, though, because you do have women who have side guys.
You're talking to me about this, and you're now trying to bring in the about men. We're not
that
talking about no, but men
ways.
Too. We're not talking men too. You want to talk about this person.
I mean,
when we start talking about these things, and we're talking about women, and then men say, well, it happens to men too. Well, nobody said it didn't, but the name of the letter is not a man.
It's not a man.
So why?
I don't think there's any man. Do you know of any man called Faith?
There you go.
Of course you don't.
Yes.
Of course you don't. We are going to open up our lines at some point, 0700-993-993-993 and 0146571190. Yeah, today is Wednesday. It's Debumi. It's my pleasure to have Cecile Gay here. And we'll look at the next one. This one. Ready. Okay, it says, I miss my daughter so much. And says, my 24-year-old daughter was lucky to be offered a well-paid job in the telecoms firm where she had her youth service. Now she's got a flat she shares with her friends of many years. We've always been close, and she's my only child. Her leaving has devastated me. It's like someone has died. I think that parents should know.
Now we can have a proper discussion.
One day, these children will always leave home.
And I think that's what I'm saying. Like, now this is a proper discussion. Miss Faith and her shagaholic is hardly...
But the problem that Miss Faith has is quite... It's quite common, though. I mean, it will
forever happen. But it's what I'm saying is that's an adult that chooses to go into a relationship of an adult.
Mm.
We're talking about a parent that misses their child. Because when children, one of the things that happens is when you give birth, it seems like, you know, especially when, you know, they're still in that baby stage and you bring them on, it seems like it's going to take forever. You don't even envisage the time, when, you know, they're going to leave home. But of course, before you play, you look forward to them going to school because suddenly you have a respite, right? And you forget, oh my God, okay, nursery school, then primary school, then secondary school. And university, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, as in literally, I say to my people, university, the chances are, if everything goes to plan, which is the plan that you, as a parent, you have for your child, is by God's grace, you'll get a job when you leave university. If everything goes to plan, they really shouldn't be moving back home. Do you understand? So that's what I'm saying. So that's why I say that this particular topic is one that for me, I care about a lot more because it creeps up on you, doesn't it?
I mean, it does, because it's a sign of the times. I remember when, I'm sure you were probably the same time when we left uni, we got jobs and got staff quarters immediately. And so, in fact, once your child goes to uni anyway, he or she is gone virtually.
That's what I said.
He's on campus.
In my
case, holidays, you know,
it was quite different. So because I didn't school here, it was quite different. I was, you know, over there and, you know,
so
boarding school, yada, yada. So I've always had that sort of independence and that whole moving back home. And I think it's different in Nigeria. Mm. In Nigeria, people tend to stay at home much, 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 much longer.
No, it is.
Right?
Yes.
You know, in the abroad, most people don't. And even when you do, you're staying at home paying rent. You are actually paying rent. So, but to talk about my son, again, one of the things was, so we moved here together, but the moment he was 13 and he went back there to sort of continue his education and do A-levels and stuff, He comes home. But I've always seen the sort of track that, he's going. And because I'm a realist, and I think that's where we parents need to get to, we need to be realistic. Because when we pray for our children to achieve and attain and rise and progress and pivot, we must be realistic about the shape that's going to have and the effect it's going to have on us. Which is why I find it incredibly ridiculous when people build 10-bedroom houses and they have 2 children. They're going to go because they're supposed to go. We want them to fly away. The worst thing is for my son not to have wings. Yeah. And we mustn't pray. We mustn't clip the wings of our children. We're just there to guide their wings. Right?
So what does Eunice do now? What does he do?
Is it Eunice a female or male? Because you said she.
Well, she says she got a flab because she's my only child. Doesn't say what
Eunice sounds very much like a male. I don't know why. I just get the impression.
Now
you've
caught my attention on that because I just thought that she was female.
Yeah, because often it's a daughter you're talking about,
and
it's the father-daughter. Fathers find it very hard to let go of their daughters. If it was his son, he'd be like, "Yeah, get out, go and do your thing."
If it's the father, he should find solace in his wife, the mom.
No. You can't just say that. So here's the thing: you can't just say that. Here is your. So much as your parent, your father is your love as a female, and you absolutely adore him. Even within the marriage, even though he loves his wife, there is an unconditional love that comes with a child. And as I always say to people, when I gave birth to my son, one of the things that I had always been somebody, I was a child, I was surrounded by love, I was indulged with love, it was crazy. But I fell in love in a way that I didn't know was possible. And that's what he's feeling.
Okay, we'll have to take, as a dad. I will continue after this break, okay? We'll take a short break. It's still the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. Today's Wednesday, dear Bumi. Have to see you again in the studio. Stand by and we'll be back after this commercial break. Every day is a new experience for me here. And look, see how excited I was coming into this studio. It was like a kid in a candy shop. And I still have with me in the studio, Cecile Gay. You're welcome. So let's look at the... Maybe I should take one or two calls because I do have some calls there. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning. Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
You know how they call Obomba?
The town called what?
Obomba.
What is that?
A town somewhere in Delta. Not for that, my Ghanaian lady. Chief Mrs. Ekiba Kari. I for visit Obomba because of that.
Which Ghanaian lady is this?
Oh, Lord.
All these young girls with the buga for us. You hear a voice. Everything completed. Uncle Jimmy?
Thank
you very much.
Do you understand what he was saying?
I don't know what Obonga is, but he was actually saying that if it wasn't for that Obonga, it would have... Anyway, doesn't matter. It was a compliment to me. Let's move on.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm not part of that. I haven't been invited into that. Okay, let's take another call. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Okay. Lucky Lola from Magburu.
How are you, sir?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. He lost it. Hello, morning. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello, good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Jimmy.
Yes.
And the man in the house. You made a certain comment. She was referring to Adam and Eve, Apple. Many thought that what Adam and Eve did, they met each other. It was never so. But remember, the husband, Adam, was not there when Eve, ate the apple. And that apple punishment is much. And another thing is that many of us, we tend to copy to the bushman. In those days, Mr. Jimmy, our parents, before they point a lady to you, they must have been watching that lady for some years. And if you actually marry that lady, it's very good for you to happen. But nowadays, they like to and see the rate of their voice everywhere. And let me do this. I don't know if there's any much difference between Muslim and Christian. I used to tell people, I have Quran, I study, I have Bible, I study. Like Mary in the Bible is Maryam in Quran, Jesus is Peter, Moses is Musa, Abraham is Abraham. And when you go to the Quran, it's referred to the Bible. So, if you know that we are all created by God, we all are from Adam.
Okay. Thank you. Point noted there. Ready? Christiana has a problem here. She says that the husband was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Okay? But he's now much better, but their sex life has deteriorated. And she says he's only 40. She tries to show understanding, but she doesn't know how long she'll be able to. The guy, of course, can't put up an optimum performance, obviously, if you've had prostate cancer. First is that his mind would be on anything but that. Probably have to force him to get him to do that. And so she doesn't know what to do. She's 42.
Wow, that's sad. That's really, very, really, very, very really, sad. Really sad. So he survived it.
He survived it. He's much better. It's not a death sentence completely.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she survived it. He's much better, but she's getting what we'll call the wrong end of the stick.
Well, I mean, I understand. I think, first of all, we have to show sympathy to her and where she is, because it's true, she's with her husband and they're not able to have sex. And yes, that certainly is a big deal. However, what I would say is, have you spoken to your doctor? Did the doctor say he would still be able to have sex? If he is, then basically what they probably need is therapy. what he probably needs is therapy. So he's yet to heal. He might have physically healed from the cancer, but he's yet to heal in the mind from the effects of the cancer. Because prostate cancer, I think, to men is it's mentally damaging.
It's like it's like men perceive it as a death sentence.
Yeah, I think when they don't die, I think because it's their prostate, and often the way men and virility are so sort of, if you like, praised in our society, and I think across the world actually, it becomes a psychological issue as well. Do you get my point?
Yeah.
So therefore, I would say he needs to be therapeutized, she needs to be therapeutized, and then they both need to come together. And I see a sex therapist. There are so many other ways to enjoy yourself, each other, than just penetration.
Yeah. But we'll go to the...
I'm joking.
Hey, listen, I'm teasing you a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was just kidding.
But do you understand? It's quite sad. It's quite sad. But I think they need to talk to therapists, I would say. And you might find that it's not such a big wahala.
From a man's perspective, who has had that kind of alarm before... first of all, when you get to realize that you have a problem with your prostate, whether it's cancer or not, you feel that it's time to go. That's the first thing that occurs to you. Once you get, you know, you've done some tests and, oh, something wrong with your prostate, you say, oh my God, that's it. Okay? And therefore, immediately you lose interest in such things. And then, so if he had to go through treatment and so on and so forth, it's remarkable that he got better. Because whether you like it or not, prostate cancer is what it is, cancer, you know. So like you said, and the therapist would have to work real hard on him, you know, to bounce him back into life. It's probably affected some other parts of his life too. Maybe his social whatever has been cut down.
I think surviving cancer is a huge deal.
Very huge deal.
So whether it's prostate or otherwise, it shapes and reshapes you in so many ways that most are not even able to articulate.
Well, tied into that is Jola, okay? This is Jola who says, I currently live with my boyfriend and we've been trying for a baby for close to a year now with no success. I've had fertility tests and so has he, and they're all positive. I'm getting really depressed, not being able to conceive, and she notices that his whatever is weak, and she thinks maybe that could be the reason. But if she's already done the fertility test, and they say she's all right, so, you know.
Why hasn't he done a count?
He has also done.
He's done a count?
Yeah, I said so, yes.
Right, and?
It's fine, medically.
Then it's just not the
maybe
time,
they just need
I guess.
To calm down.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I think that the issue of conception between male and female, especially human beings, where emotions and all kinds of things are involved, it's not just medical. You know, the psychological part of it is there, and nature will always take its course.
Yeah.
I understand, unfortunately. Do you have any experience?
But there's also the quality of sperm, you know, so you can do the sperm count.
But the doctors have certified the guy
everything.
Okay.
Yeah, they've said everything is okay with him, everything is okay with her.
But what about compatibility?
What has that got to do with having a baby?
Compatibility medically.
Right.
Sometimes you could find A is all right, B is all right, but the two of them can't have a baby. That also happened.
Yeah, it just wasn't meant to be. I guess that's when you fall into defaulters. It wasn't meant to be. Because once all the science and all the biology boxes have been ticked,
yes.
What else remains?
God.
It wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't meant to be. So what should she do? Should she move on?
I wouldn't. I mean, it depends. It depends on how long she's willing to try. And does she even know? What if she moves on to the next person? Because I think they might need to do further investigation. I think so.
In the first place, get a second opinion.
Yes.
and then, you know, escalated as the case.
Yes.
Yeah. And then also, I also think, well, now I'm just saying it. I'm not an expert in anything. But also be less conscious. You know, be
how
less,
about
less
just
anxious.
Having fun?
Yes, and see how it goes.
Just enjoy yourself and having fun, because often, yeah, it didn't happen. I mean, you know, rather than saying, you know, hey, it's time, let's go do this, just have fun and enjoy each other. And you might find that, that relaxed, less
tense. Do you think that it has anything to do with their not being married? Do you think so? It says, because it says here, it's my boyfriend. And they've been trying. Do you think he has anything to do with not being married?
Well, if it does, then they should get married. But I don't think it does. It has anything to do with that. I mean, many children happen outside of marriage.
Yes, fair enough. Even stray bullets do become pregnancies. But sometimes the psychological being of one of the two parties could affect. Surely there's a spiritual side to conception.
Spiritual.
No, not spiritual, the right word. I'm saying is that sometimes everything, you can tick all the boxes, like you said, but psychologically, one of the parties might not even be ready.
Yes, but if not being married is a factor, they have a choice to do that, but I don't think it's a factor. I think it's just not happening, and perhaps it's just not meant to be.
Let me ask our listeners. See what they have to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Pick the next call, please. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, Pastor. How are you?
Hello, how are you? Good morning.
Now, you see, my take, the lady should move on to save time. If she is having this feeling that she's so particular about having a child, so she should move on. But otherwise, they can get married and adopt and move on with their life. Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Oh, well, I don't usually tell people to adopt. I think it must come from within. It's not as easy as it sounds. If you don't have a child and you think if you adopt a child, it will be a substitute. It sometimes doesn't work that well. I think
not everybody has.
Yes.
Yeah, not everybody is capable of loving a child that they didn't birth. But adoption is a very good option.
Yeah, without doubt. But I would rather it comes. Everybody knows that there's adoption anyway. So I've had reasons to have people extremely close to me. They haven't had children, and people will suggest to you, why don't you tell them to adopt? And I've said
no, you can only suggest it. You can't tell them.
No, so well, tell them.
Tell them to explore it.
To explore it, yes. Yeah. But it has to come from within, because it's not as easy as it sounds.
But I think from you suggesting it, sometimes, you know, the most obvious thing, it's not obvious to the person that's in that situation. So if
it,
and yes, some, oh yes, quite a lot of times. And often, I think if we just say, you know, and it depends on how you approach it. It depends on how you say it. Have you thought about this? Have you explored it? And leave it there. Because, you know, life's decisions are the ones that happens when nobody's with us. During our quiet moments.
Yeah.
When it's just us, the space, your God, your soul, really, and your spirit. So, once you drop it and you suggest it, live it and let the universe go do whatever it's going to do with it. And if that person is that way inclined, or even if they're not, it might be the beginning of a journey for them to actually research and begin to open their mind to such a possibility.
What are the questions you need to ask yourself before you decide to adopt?
Can I love?
Would you have any?
No, but it is a question. The main question is, can I love a child that I did not birth as mine? Do I have the capacity to do that? That's the critical question. You know, because a lot of people will. So, you know, there are children who are adopted, who never seek to even find out who their birth parents were.
Yeah.
And there are children who are adopted who do seek out their birth parents and still prefer their adopted parents.
Yes.
Because, you know, not everybody is able to love another child like their own. Not everybody.
Does it make it easier if you have one of yours? If you already had one child and it's okay, I just want to adopt a second child.
I don't know. I think it might even be the other way around. Because so as you know, in Yoruba, you know, they say, you know, oh God, what's that saying? It's gone out of my head, but something like Ori Omo Lunkpo Mo Wale.
Yeah. Do you believe in that?
I don't not believe in it, but there are loads and loads of true stories of couples who had given up, thought it wouldn't happen, pretty much like the couple we're talking about. They adopt and the next thing they get pregnant.
Yeah.
Right? It's very, very common. So, and I think perhaps it's because once you've adopted a child, once you've gotten into that place of being a parent, you know, the whole sort of burden or pressure, societal pressure, where you think, you know, I'm not a mother, I'm not taking a child to school, I'm not a father, I'm not taking a child to sports or kind of thing, my mates, what that kind of lessens, and that brings down that pressure, so definitely, you are much more relaxed. And then you then just have sex for fun, and suddenly it happens.
Mm. All right, let's pick another call. Hello, morning.
Hello, Agajimi.
Morning, how are you? Who's calling?
Lucky Lola calling back. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, a lady that is, you know, very anxious of getting pregnant should also understand that unnecessary stress, anxiety, we further worsen the situation, I think. She's okay, am I right?
I agree, totally. Oh dear, your line keeps cutting off. That's the thing, anxiety, stress, etc., etc. I totally agree with him.
Okay, let's take another corner there. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, as regards to that young lady that is ambitious, you know, the temperature of the body, when it is too hot, the fertilization will not take place. So it will run down as menstrual cycle. However, there are fruits that she might eat to improve the vitamins, to enhance the egg or the man, spermatozoa, to be more firm. Something like coconut. What they call it, pumpkin seed, that is the punk, but the ugu, the seed of it. Are you hearing me?
Yeah,
the seed of a pumpkin, pumpkin leaf or ugu seed. When you concentrate to eat that one, and then eat much of coconut, and then drink, prepare zobo without sugar.
Okay, thank you very much. She can get the rest of the formula from you. maybe it's this leaf that has made me pregnant. That's the joke with this big belly that I have. let's pick another call. We don't have any. Okay. All right. So this is from Anita. Anita says that when she and her boyfriend have whatever it is, he always withdraws at the last moment, but I felt that I can still get pregnant and so on and so forth. I think Anita should be talking to a doctor.
No, I think Anita needs to grow up.
You think so?
Yes.
I mean, she should go talk to a specialist and know what it is.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is part of why sex education is important. I can't fathom. Anita sounds like an adult with a child's mind.
Yeah, maybe she's definitely over 18.
like I said, an adult with a child's mind. And she should have learnt about the birds and the bees way before age 18.
Well, you never know. Some people are slower at these things in growing up.
No, it's not about, I'm not, you see, you're talking something else and I'm talking something else. What I'm saying sex education. Okay. You're saying slow at these things. That's the act of it. That's not what I'm talking about.
The education is part of
it. No, it's not. Okay. Sex education is not about the act of it. Sex education is about knowing. It's not about having sex young or early or whatever. It's not about that. And if children are not taught sex education from, you know, age 11, 12, and all these things are taught within the prism of that child's age, etc., etc., you end up with people like Anita in society. Sex education is sex education, and I don't care what age you start to have sex, but your knowledge of the birds and the bees and what happens and biology and condom and contraception and menstruation cycle and you know the whole ecosystem of it, you should know before the age of 18.
Let me ask you a question that is off tangent here, but
go on.
Since you're here, I can ask you the new development in the UK about LGBT knowledge to children. That's not LGBT knowledge to children. Is a dilemma, especially for those who have moved, you know. And so, how would you recommend Nigeria's respond to that when you have to send your children to school?
You really want my honest truth?
Yes.
Your callers are going to so not like me now, but I don't care. So, Nigerians, and it's the fact that you said Nigerians. So, first of all get over yourselves. Like, literally, Nigerians, get over yourselves. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If you continue to bury your head in the sand and not actually teach your child within your home about the fact that the world is shaped in many colors, you are doing that child an injustice. And I'll tell you how and why. Mm-hmm. Whether we like it or not, so let me put it out there first and foremost. I'm a liberal, I'm pro-LGBT, I'm pro-human rights, I'm pro-people. That's it. Love who you love, right? So I don't deal with all that judgment. So we put that aside. That's full disclosure there. Here's the thing. For the average child, average Nigerian child who has been told LGBT is this, LGBT is that, and all the negative, and I call it negative, dangerous ignorance about the LGBT. In this world of jackpot to the jackpot to the jackpot to wherever you're going abroad, your child will end up in school, in university, and the chances are it is possible that their boss may be LGBT. So that boss is LGBT.
Even the roommates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that boss is LGBT. Mm-hmm. And the child then says something really sort of that you know, they think is innocuous, but it's actually derogatory, and they end up getting in trouble. Wow. And they end up losing their job.
I wish we had more time.
I mean, I could talk about this for a whole hour, 2 hours. There's so much education that needs to be done.
Okay.
But it's the what is being taught in the UK, please, to save people from all this right-wing fallacy. What is being taught in the UK is about families, that families come in different shapes and sizes. Today's family.
Okay.
Right? I have always exposed my child to the fact that there are LGBT. It's not even been a big deal. He's aware of it. He knows it. He gets to school in the UK. He's 14, 15 or something. And I go to visit and he said, "Oh, mom, there's somebody in my school who's going through a trans, who's going through the process. And I think she was going from male to female process." And I said, how do you feel? And he said, "No, I don't care. I just don't like
her." You know
what
we'll do? I'm going to invite you one day and we'll sit and trash it out.
Yeah, because people need to stop this ignorance.
I've got to go.
It annoys me.
No, don't get annoyed. Okay, so that's what we'll knock it off for today. Thank you very much, Esther.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's been fun. You must come back again.
Oh, well. I don't know about that.
All right. So I'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be with Pau Kunaya, you know, the astrologer, who will tell us what the stars have for us for 2023. I'll see you tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.